A farm boy, accidentally overturned his wagon load of corn on the road. The farmer, who lived nearby, came to investigate. He said, "Hey, Willis, had a tough time, have you? Why don't you just forget about your troubles for a spell? Come in and have some supper with us and just relax a little, and then I'll come and help you get that thing turned right up again." "That's mighty nice of you," Willis said, "but I don't think Paul would like me to do that." "Oh, come on, son," the farmer insisted. "Well, okay," the boy finally agreed, "but Paul won't like it." After a hearty dinner, Willis thanked his host. "I feel a lot better now, but I just know Paul's not going to be really upset." "Don't be foolish. I know your Paul," said the neighbor. "By the way, where is he?" "He's under the wagon." Gloria Pitzer said this: "Procrastination is my sin. It brings me naught of sorrow. I know that I should stop it. In fact, I will tomorrow." Procrastination. Procrastinator is a person who delays or put things off, like work or chores or other action that should be done in a timely manner. It is somebody who will normally leave their Christmas shopping till December the 24th, unless you happen to be a tightwad and you know that that's where the best sales are. Then that's not procrastinator. That isn't a good investment of your money. Procrastinator comes from the Latin verb, which means to defer until tomorrow. I am going to get in your space tonight. And I'm not talking about an occurrence of where you put something off and you do something. Ever so often we do that. But it is the habit of procrastination. It's when it gets a hold of you and you find out that instead of doing the things you should, you do the things you prefer to do. A scholar once surveyed the scripture to discover the most significant words in the Bible. And he wanted to find the happiest word, the saddest word, the most emotional word, and so forth. When he came to the most dangerous word, he identified it as tomorrow. Tomorrow. Tomorrow we will have something up there, but for now we don't. Just a moment. I procrastinated. It was up there just a second ago. Oh, wonderful. Don't you love technology? Okay. Come on, 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 come on. Give me a moment. Yes! Oh, what's the matter? What's the matter, Maggie?
I don't like this.
Are you all paying attention? Because there's something that God wants you to hear in this. Where am I at? Tomorrow. Tomorrow is the most dangerous word in Scripture. It's a thief, somebody said, that robs the dreamers of their dreams and the talented of their greatest achievement. You can imagine if Michelangelo was a procrastinator, you would not have his sculptures, his work of art. He would have gone with all of that talent within him, but it was never realized. It also keeps people from coming to Christ and discovering the kind of love God longs for them to have. So we've been looking on Sunday nights about slaying the giants in our lives, the things that attack our faith, the things that seems to get us off kilter. And we've looked at fear and discouragement and loneliness and guilt and temptation, resentment, doubts and failures. All of those you would readily agree, yep, those are things that come against us. Those are the big ones. We identify those, but I'm not sure I would have put procrastination on this list until we studied this. Would you have put that up there with fear? Some of you would. Most of you would have procrastinated to where it wouldn't even be on the list. It wouldn't even be there, would it? The Bible has a lot to say about procrastination. Ecclesiastes 11:4, "Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap." You go out and go, "Oh, it's too cloudy. I'm going to go back in." There's another verse in Proverbs that says, you know, instead of going out and planting your field, you go out and say, "Oh, there's a lion in the field. I better go home," kind of thing, okay? James 4, verse 17, if anyone then knows the good thing ought to do and doesn't do it, it's a sin for them. You put it off. I know what's good. I'm going to do it later, God. Just catch me later, if you will. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, lazy hands make for poverty or dirty rooms or all those other things that you want to put down there. But diligent hand brings wealth. It brings something to your life. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. As we look at some verses that we're familiar with, we've covered them a few times, but we've never covered them with the idea that he's talking about procrastination. I probably wouldn't have identified that either. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. It's under the title, if you will, The Cost of Following Jesus. Verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Easy words to say, isn't it? Jesus, I'll do whatever you want to. I'll follow you wherever you want me to go. But Jesus brings some reality in here. And he says, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. There's going to be some trials with that. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go bury my father. Now that seems kind of harsh, but odds are at this point his father wasn't even dead. He was going to wait until he died, most likely to get the inheritance. And when that's done, when that event happens, God, I'll follow you wherever you want me to go. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Doesn't sound like a very big issue, would it? But there's no guarantee what goodbye means here, okay? Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these verses. And as we look at our own lives, are there areas of our life where we're in essence saying, Lord, let me go back and say bye to my family, or let me go by and bury my dead. For God, are we putting you off? Are we putting off the blessing that you have for us simply because we want to? We want to do something different. Lord, I pray that you open up our hearts and minds and may we see with new eyes. And Lord, I do thank you. In your name, amen. Arnold was cleaning out the attic with his wife and he came across a claim ticket from the local shoe repair shop. The date stamped on the ticket showed it was 11 years old. Never went back and reclaimed his shoes. He asked his wife, do you think the shoes will still be there in the shop? Not likely, she said, but it's worth a try. So Arnold drove to the shoe repair shop and with a straight face, handed the ticket to the man behind the counter, didn't say anything about it. The man looked at the ticket and just said, just a minute, I'll have to go look for these. He disappeared to the back of the shop. 2 minutes later, the man called out, hey, they are here. No kidding, Arnold called back. That's terrific. Who would have thought they would still be here after all this time? The man behind the counter said, yeah, and they'll be ready on Thursday. I'd like to know if that was true or not. Someone said, there's no time like the present for postponing what you ought to be doing. Ought to be doing. Procrastination is a thief of time. And the first question is, how? Why is it a thief and time? What's God getting at here? What does it steal? How does it steal? Why is it so important? The first thing there is procrastination robs you of opportunities for service. Robs you of opportunities for service. How strict was Jesus on the issue of time wasting? Yeah, pretty strict, wasn't it? Now, understand, he only had 3.5 years to change the world. I think he did it. So he didn't have a lot of time to waste. He had a strict calendar. If you look at Daniel, there was a strict time period in which he was to go into Jerusalem and a strict time period he was to declare himself the Messiah. So he didn't have a whole lot of time. And he's got 12 really stubborn, strong-willed men to try and convince that he's the Messiah and walk his way. Difficult times, difficult task. Yes, ladies? Uh-huh, yeah. Verse 7 and 8, if you think about prioritizing your time for yourself, I'll follow you anywhere. If you're following me for what you think you're going to get, hear Jesus say, I have something greater for you. If you're just mouthing words, that doesn't mean anything. But if it's true, understand, if you'll follow me wherever I take you, I will bless your life in ways you cannot even imagine. It will be harder than you think. You will not earn the vast amount of sums that you think you will have. You may go without some goodies that other people have, but I will bless you in ways you cannot understand. Verse 59 and 60. If you think about waiting for some event to happen, I have something greater for you. If you're waiting for that next big thing to happen, if you're waiting for the next job being promoted, if you're waiting for the next thing within your life, just as soon as I graduate from high school, then, man, I'll give you my life, God. If just as soon as I get this area of my life straightened up, hear Jesus say, I have something greater for you than that. Verse 61 and 62, look ahead. Look ahead. I have something greater for you, but you've got to be looking ahead. You can't go through this Christian life. Well, you can, but probably shouldn't go through this Christian life with your hand to the plow looking back where you've been. You will not do straight roads if you do that. Okay? So procrastination robs you of opportunities to serve. We must keep track of our tendency to put the big things aside for the little ones. Those little bitty things that come at us all the time, that eat away at our time, and if I can just do this and get that one to be quiet, and if I can just get that, okay? If we're not careful, we will let those little ones eat up our time, and we won't do the big things. Charles Hummel said, he calls that the tyrant of the urgent, when those little things coming, putting more important thing behind the more immediate thing. Hard thing to learn at times, to do the more important thing at times than the immediate things. That does not mean that there are not times that the immediate thing doesn't take precedence, but in the normal flow of life, if we keep allowing those immediate things to just occupy our time, it'll rob us of opportunities to serve. Sometimes, stopping to attend a funeral, you'll find five reasons to change your mind about following Jesus. I need to stay here because I need to take care of my mother, or I need to stay here because this family needs help, or now I need to do the farm in which God has called us to follow Him. You'll think of five reasons why you should not follow Him. If you check in on the family, I will guarantee you that there's going to be uncles and aunts that's going to try and talk you out of your new path. They're going to tell you that this life is crazy, that you need to go for what you want. Stop all this Christian stuff. Commitment to Jesus means a radical prioritization of one's life's and values. You don't use the old values to make the judgments of the new one. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 and 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and to his joy went and sold all he had to buy the field. Now, understand this. He's found this, whatever it was, in the field. It was of great value. He hid it and went, sold everything he had, just so he could come and possess that great treasure. Here's what Jesus is saying. Following the Lord Jesus Christ is a great treasure. And that same mindset, I'm selling everything I got so I can get this great treasure. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had to buy it. And the priority of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life is more important than anything else that's there. It redefines all of your relationships. It redefines your marriage. It redefines your family. It redefines how you perform at work. You must be careful of this. Jesus again and again said, your time is your treasure. Spend it carefully. Carefully. Sometimes God comes with explicit instructions for us. In a moment. Explicit. Call this person. Go to this place. Pay that person's bill. Anybody ever have that happen? A name pops on your list and I need you to call them. I was at a gas station once filling, and there was this man filling up his truck. And he was trying to get the last dime, and I asked him how he was doing. He says, I'm trying to get to Branson. My father's in the hospital, and I can't. And God said, put your credit card in there, big boy. He was looking for $2. That's all he asked for. I think I can get to Branson for $2. He got filled his tank. I'm not sure he wasn't an angel. But those times that God comes at you, and you know that there's something that you're supposed to do. And man, there is a joy of obedience when we are. Joy of obedience. But there are times we, in essence, say, I hear you, God, but let me go bury my dead first. I hear you, God, but let me go say goodbye. Let me go do this. Let me go that. And we find we've missed something special with God had for us. We've missed that opportunity. Because of procrastination, we rob ourselves and others of blessing we may never realize as we say no. So procrastination first robs us of opportunities to serve. The second thing is procrastination robs us of opportunities to be successful. Okay? Now you don't have to be a Christian to understand this point. Okay? You do have to be a Christian to enter heaven, to live an abundant life here, and escape punishment. But this point, the world understands. There is no successful person who is a procrastinator. None. Okay? None whatsoever. Sometimes it goes the other way. They're so consumed with what they're doing. That's another message altogether. But there is no procrastinator that is successful in the business world or in the world of life. A management consultant by the name of Ivy Lee, Charles Schwab, back then he was the president of Bethlehem Steel, if I remember right, the largest steel industry in America at the time. You now know him as the Schwab healthcare, the funds account. But he was having troubles staying. I mean, the little things of running his company was eating him. Like little, he said it was like ants coming and eating at him all the time. So he called the consultant, Ivy Lee, and said, "What can I do that I can be more productive?" Now, Ivy Lee was a very smart man, and he immediately gave him an underwhelming, simplistic plan. That's what Charles Schwab called it. Number one, each evening write down the 6 most important things you should do the following day. I do this at night as I'm laying down. I'm getting my list together. So do most of you. Number two, list them in the order of importance. Okay? So you got 6 things. You're going to list them in the order of importance. Follow the following morning, come to work, and do whatever tops the list. Now, that doesn't mean that at times he didn't take care of this issue or that issue, but he was focused on that list. When finished with that one, move down the list. Use this plan strictly for several months, then pay me what you think it's worth. This was in the early 1900s. After 6 months, he paid him $25,000, which was a huge sum of money in 1900 because it had made him so productive. There must be discipline in deciding the most important tasks. You've got to know what's important and put it there. Because if not, the top of our list will be the things we want to do and like to do versus the things that we need to do. So we must be disciplined at that. We must ask God for the proper understanding of what is important. How do I put it on the list? How do I get this into my life? Keeping it at the top of the list will allow your days to be successful. Arnold Bennett said, "Time is the explicitly raw material of everything. It is the spiritual molecular structure of our world. Your career is composed of time. Your marriage and family success are measured by time. Your relationship with God is measured in time. Will the time chart of your life please you when you give an account for it?" So it will rob you of opportunities to be successful. But also it robs you of opportunities for salvation. Most of us here have done that, if not everybody. But understand, it will rob you when you say no. Turn to Acts chapter 24. A couple just really interesting people. Acts chapter 24, if you want. And you're going to look at a governor, if you will, by the name of Felix, and his wife, which is Drusilla. Now, these are two really interesting people. Drusilla was the daughter of Herod, the granddaughter of Herod the Great. This was the family that killed John the Baptist. Herod killed most of his sons, so they couldn't come up behind him and take the throne. Just a wonderful family. Felix was the same way. He had come into this. He was a conniver. He was one who took the position. And so here comes Paul before them, okay? And what they're really looking for, Felix is looking for, is a bribe. "Paul, give me some money, give me something, and I will let you off." But Paul didn't give him money. What he gave him was a 3-point sermon on the need for salvation, the judgment that is coming, and it got them. In verse 24, several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ. Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and judgment, something that these two did not have. In fact, Felix stole Drusilla from his brother and made him a part of her family. Okay, so righteousness and self-control is there, and the judgment to come. Felix was terrified when he heard these words. Can you tell the Spirit of God was there, rustling on their hearts? And he said, "That is enough for now. You may leave when I find it convenient. I will send for you." You ever say those words to God? "When I find it convenient, then I will follow you. I will fix this in my marriage. I will fix this in my family. I will do something different in my life." You hear those same excuses today. "Call me back later. This is not a good time. I will get with you. We'll go out to lunch. I don't have the time now." 1 Corinthians 6 verse 2 said, "Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Right now is all that you got. Ask yourself the question, why is now so important? Why does Paul say, "Now is the day"? Why is that so important? Well, there are two main problems with procrastination. Number one, procrastination does not take into account the uncertainty of life. We think we've got that all figured out, okay? But tomorrow is an uncertain proposition. The only thing we have is right now. You don't even have 10 minutes from now. You don't know that for sure. It is an uncertain proposition. Now, you may be right. You may have next week, next month, next year. But you don't know that. That time may be taken from you. Proverbs 27 verse 1, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring." You don't have a clue what's going on. So we need to make sure that procrastination is not keeping us from salvation. It's not keeping us from being successful. It's not keeping us from allowing the blessings of God. Only today, right now, has been placed into your hands. God sets you in time called now. He locked you in the present to cut you off from the past and the future. He is now is all that we have. James chapter 4, 13 and 14 said, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make a load of money." Now, he's not talking that we shouldn't plan, okay? That's not what he's saying. But there's a boast in this. Verse 14, "Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." That's God's way of saying we need to be at the task of what we're supposed to be doing. Somebody said if you pile up enough tomorrows, you end up with a lot of empty yesterdays. A lot of if-onlys, if you will. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says, "But encourage one another," when? "Daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." There are several times, I believe, that encouragement should be given, and we say, "I'm going to do that tomorrow," or "I'll give them a call this evening when I get home." So procrastination does not take into account the uncertainty of life. This is a David Jeremiah saying. Procrastination does not take into account the uniqueness of conviction. The uniqueness of conviction. Life holds its defining moments for each of us, time when God reaches into time and space and deals with us directly and personally. He touches you personally. You know. Maybe it's the day of salvation in which you knew what God that God had done. I remember being 19 at Boulevard Baptist Church and had been going there with Cheryl, and God says, "I want you, not for salvation, but I want your life." And my knuckles were white on the back of the pew, and I knew exactly what God was wanting me to do. There was a night at Ridgecrest Baptist Church where God says, "I want you to be a pastor." I learned the first time. Immediately I went down and told the church what God had called me to do. And coming back down the aisle, the thought hit me, I should have talked with Cheryl about this first. Her response was, "I wondered when it was going to happen." It's a day in which you heard His voice loud and clear. You knew it. You knew it. And you may never hear God's voice as clearly as you did today. You may never hear that quite the same. His timetable and planning are perfect, but not for our personal convenience. Read that again. That's important. Our convenience does not matter to God at all. It's His plan. It's His timetable. He has a blessing for us to bless others. And when you bless others, we're getting the blessing as well.
God is persistent, but your life is less predictable. You don't know what tomorrow may bring. You may not be as sensitive as today. You're saying to God, let me go bury my dead first. Let me get the field plowed first. Then I will go, God. The ministry opportunity may have evaporated or given to someone else. And you're saying, praise God, I don't have to do it. But one of these days we'll give an account for our life and you will see what was missed by saying no to God, procrastinating till a later time. Your window of opportunity may snap shut. Today is the day God has chosen to get your attention. And with God, there are no coincidences. He's got your attention today. You know it within your heart. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. I want you to remember the nation of Israel going into the promised land. They get all the way to the door of the promised land and they would not trust God and go on in. They lost that blessing for an entire generation. God was going to do marvelous things. He was still going to part the Red Sea. He was still going to take care of all of those armies there. He was still going to do that. But because they did not trust Him and was not obedient, that generation lost the blessing. It was passed to the next one. God never ceases speaking. It's we who cease hearing in an ever-increasing deafness with each no and with each not now. We get, if you will, calloused. We hear the voice of God less intensely. David said, I will hurry without delay to obey your commands. Billy Graham was sleeping and he woke up and he had dreamed about Marilyn Monroe and she was in some troubles and he knew her, was a friend to her, and so he got up and he quickly the next day and he called and got her assistant. Well, she is filming today, she cannot be interrupted. I'm sure I will tell her that you've called. And he said, no, this is important, there's something I need to find out or say or whatever. And he said, I'll have her call you in the next day or two. And that was the evening that she killed herself because the assistant procrastinated. D.L. Moody, a wonderful evangelist in Chicago, had preached a powerful sermon. And the Spirit of God was there. And people had been coming the nights before. And he ran a little long and he said, I want you to come back tomorrow and make that decision for Christ. And that was the night of the great Chicago fire. They never came back. And he wondered how many did not have that opportunity because he chose to put it off. So what are you waiting for? It's the time to surrender to Christ fully, fully, instead of part ways. It's a time to say yes to something the Spirit of God has tugged your heart to do or to put down. It's a time to get your house in order. Time to mend fences with your spouse. Time to guide your children back into the loving arms of Jesus. Time to rebuild your family. Is it time to begin pleasing God with the work of your hands and eliminate the practices that bring Him gift, grief? If you treat time well, it will return the favor. Somebody said, handle the present with honor and you'll be honored by the future. We call that a legacy. People are so worried about their legacy today, how people are going to remember them. May they remember us that we have been a faithful servant of God Almighty. So what kind of legacy are you leaving for the future? What are you waiting for? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, may we see that we put You off so many times. And because of that, there are things in our lives that are hard now. So we struggle with our marriage. We struggle with our families. We struggle with the relationship of child and parent solely because we procrastinate and we don't do the things that we know to do. We put it off for something that we prefer to do. Now, Father, I don't know what You want to do in the hearts of each one here, but You do. And I pray that You do that now. And Lord, I thank You. In Your name, amen.